This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
I know the feeling of reaching for a block of chocolate or a bag of chips after a tough day, but imagine living with pain that never really goes away. Well, a new study has found that 2 in 3 people with chronic pain turn to comfort eating to cope. It brings short-term relief, but can also create a long-term trap. Well, Professor Toby Newton-John is head of the Graduate School of Health at the University of Technology, Sydney, and joins us now on the line. Toby, welcome to Drive.
Thank you, Warren. It's good to be here.
Now, tell us, when you began this research, what did you suspect about the link between pain and comfort eating, and what most surprised you in the results?
Well, there was already some research showing that there was an association between people who live with persistent pain and the use of food to help manage it. But what we didn't know, what this research was particularly interested in uncovering, is what the purpose was. So why were people using food as a way of helping to manage their pain? And what, I guess, in terms of what was the most surprising to us was that we had kind of assumed that the most common, you know, people would mostly be using food as distraction, because that's a really common way of managing pain, just trying to take your mind off it by doing something else. But what came out in the results was that people, and that was obviously a factor, it was a common response, but the most common response from people living with pain was that the food gave them a pleasant experience, more so than it's operated as a distraction or the reason why they used food was about that pleasant experience. And that wasn't something that we'd anticipated being the most common reason people use food.
So for someone living with chronic pain, is it that pleasant experience that gives that contrast and therefore takes the edge off the pain?
Yeah, look, it does seem to be that. It seems to be that if you're living with pain day in, day out, as you said, it's a real challenge. And, of course, there are various things that you can do which sort of take the edge off that pain, medications and heat packs and cold packs and all sorts of different things, but none of them really get rid of it. And it's a hard journey to get through days with all responsibilities and sort of physical tasks often that people have to do in their days. And so having this thing to look forward to, perhaps this thing that gives you a little lift when things are tricky, was seemed to be really what made the difference. And that, I think, just speaks to how difficult it can be living with pain when it becomes a chronic state.
When you're, I imagine, living with chronic pain, I mean, it's there all the time, isn't it? So
yeah.
A small moment of joy and that gives relief from that pain, I mean, it's only a slight moment, isn't it, that you get relief from the pain. How powerful is that?
It's really powerful, and I'm not even sure how sort of conscious people are, you know, of the pain relief element. Mm. But it's just a pleasant thing when you've got lots of other, every movement can be painful, your sleep is often affected, it certainly pain affects your mood. People are generally very conscious of the side effects of prescription medicines and so on. So there's not a lot of joy in that. Just also having something which is maybe something to look forward to, or something that in and of itself doesn't seem like such a bad thing, it is very powerful.
We're chatting with Professor Toby Newton-John from the University of Technology, Sydney, about some new research showing 2 in 3 people with chronic pain turn to food for comfort. Is there a biological effect happening here as well, Toby? Can sugar or fat dull pain for a short period of time?
Well, it does. There's quite a bit of research that has looked at the use of sort of high sugar, sort of sucrose-based active ingredients in animal studies in sort of with pain. And certainly rats do seem to prefer the sugary syrup than the water when they're exposed to painful stimuli. So, yeah, there does seem to be some sort of analgesic property. quite what the mechanism is, whether it's, you know, how it's operating, we're not entirely sure, but there does seem to be something to it.
How does comfort eating end up creating that vicious cycle where it helps in the moment but makes chronic pain worse over time?
Yeah, and this is a tricky one because in and of itself, you know, a block of chocolate or a, you know, a couple of chips, you know, they're in themselves are of no consequence. But because chronic pain is often over such a long period of time, and we're talking years, if not decades for some people, then the build-up accumulation of poor eating habits over a very long period of time creates, you know, people obviously put on weight. It's very hard to exercise when you live with pain. For a lot of people, movement is painful. So the trap becomes that the thing that gives you a little bit of pleasure becomes the thing that adds to your pain burden because you're putting on weight, and that increases the load through your joints. And actually, fat tissue itself has a pro-inflammatory property to it. So pain does tend to get worse with greater weight. So it's one of these things that seems in the short term to be pretty innocuous, but because we're talking about long-term health health conditions, it cumulatively over time just ends up adding to, unfortunately, to the chronic pain burden.
If we talk about pain management programs focusing on maybe medication and physiotherapy, do food and nutrition often get left out of the picture, and should they be included?
Yeah, I actually really do think they should, and there's some pain management programs are now starting to really target food. I think, you know, the thinking traditionally has been that you know, you need something that works fast. So, you know, medications work, you know, 10, 15 minutes, maybe 20 minutes for pain relief. And, you know, physio, massage or traction or interferential or something, they all, you know, operate quickly. Whereas obviously thinking about food choices and nutrition is not going to change things in 20 minutes. But it is, because I said, these are long-term health problems. It really is really important that we think about the long-term implications of what we're eating, both for sort of mitigating the negative effects, but also, you know, it's foods that do have, you know, that are healthy and, you know, good for your health, not just avoiding the things that are bad. So I think there is a bit of a shift here.
What kind of alternatives can people try when pain does flare up and they normally say, you know what, I'm going to reach for that bar of chocolate? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's easy, it's satisfying, it's quick. Yeah. What alternatives are there?
Yeah, and that's very much part of why it's you know, it's very understandable that people do this because, as you said, it's quick and easy and cheap. Look, it really depends with pain flares. It can't, to a degree, they're all pretty individual, and people's flares, even within the one person, flare, you know, a pain increase can be different. But essentially, that range from doing something else, which may involve, preferably involves movement. So if you can do some gentle stretching, or go for a slow walk, or do some of the various forms of relaxation or self-soothing kind of exercises that people can do, you know, heat packs or cold packs or things. There's other things that people can do within their own agency instead of an unhealthy choice for managing pain in that moment. And just seeing whether the urge or the desire or the need it sometimes feels for the comfort food actually dissipates a bit, because give it a bit of time and it's not there so much in a while.
We're chatting with Professor Toby Newton-John from the University of Technology about some new research showing 2 in 3 people with chronic pain turn to food for comfort. I imagine, Toby, that you know, when most of us turn to food for comfort that perhaps isn't good for us, it's easy to be shamed or made to feel guilty, etc. And I imagine a lot of these people with chronic pain are being told, hey, you shouldn't have that block of chocolate or what have you. How can, I suppose, families, people close to these people with chronic pain, or even clinicians, raise this issue without making people feel guilty for reaching for that block of chocolate?
Yeah, well, and that's such a good question, and such an important question, because I think you're 100% right. Nothing worse than feeling ashamed or feeling blamed or feeling judged in terms of how you're managing something which is inherently very, very difficult and challenging. It's the last thing anybody needs. So Good question. So I think part of, generally speaking, it's more helpful to ask questions than to give answers. So if family, clinicians, families are concerned about how people are managing their pain, then questions like to the individual, like, how do you feel your pain management's going? Do you feel like you're getting enough support? You know, could you, what would you do differently if you had any choices about this? How might you manage your pain differently? Asking people how they feel about how they're managing their pain and what they're doing and whether they feel would they prefer other alternatives, I think is a kinder way and an ultimately more helpful way to start that conversation about maybe some of the choices you're making aren't, totally understand why you're making them in the moment, but, you know, geez, this is a long-term problem and perhaps long-term this is not the best way to go. So I think that, a good way to start is often to ask and to be curious about how the individual themselves feels their pain management is going, because there's a lot of different ways of doing this and there's lots of different things on the market and lots of people advertising their wares in terms of things you can do. But asking the person themselves how they feel they're managing can be a pretty useful place to start.
Toby, we're about to run out of time. So just one more question for anyone feeling trapped in that loop of pain and comfort eating. One small step they could take today to start just breaking that cycle?
Yeah. Look, one thing you do today is to stop and give yourself a chance to pause. So the quick question to ask yourself is, do I really want it now or can I come back to it later on? Because if you can sometimes give yourself that little pause between the thought and the urge and taking action, do something else for a bit, go for a walk, have a drink of water, do something else, fold the washing, whatever. Sometimes that urge goes away and it doesn't feel quite so strong. And if you can do that and feel good about that choice that you've made to not take that comfort eating approach, it can give you a bit of a boost to try it again next time.
Toby, great to chat with you. Thanks for joining us on Drive today.
Very welcome. Thanks for having me, Warren.
Thank you. That's Professor Toby Newton-John from the University of Technology in Sydney.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.